Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here's Clint Sterner and the show. Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
All right, so we've had some tough loss yesterday for the Houston Texans. New England Patriots come back late to win the ball game. Rough second half for sure for the Houston Texans. A lot of things went wrong in the second half. A lot of good things happened throughout the ball game that we've chopped up today. But so I think big picture, this football game was the first game where I think David Culley, the head coach, not only struggled and made some suspect decisions, but he cost them the game. He cost his decisions and ultimately his inability to manage situations. It cost the Houston Texans the football game. There's been mistakes made in the past, the Cleveland game where he declined the penalty, took the play that they had just ran, which got him to fourth and two, and then decided to punt. You know, there's some decisions along the way that I've looked at and been like, man, well, come on, you got to be better than that. Yeah. But yesterday, I think there were multiple moments in that football game, and it's key that the Texans had the lead, because now it became you had the lead and it's just about not losing the football game. Yeah. Right? And there were multiple times in that game where David Culley made major, major mistakes. And in my opinion, he was overwhelmed. He was overwhelmed by the moment. And did you hear the post-game last night, the post-game presser from David Culley last night?
Yeah, I did, Clint.
David Culley not only doubled down, but he tripled down on a pass that supposedly was thrown late in this ball game, like inside the final 2 minutes, that altered his decision of what to do in the final moments of the game. That was very interesting. This is David Culley at the post-game press conference last night, when he was asked about what happened late in the game and why he didn't make the right decisions to give his team a chance to get the ball back.
We thought about that. We did think about that. Well, because of end up what happening is, obviously they threw the ball. They threw the ball one time, which actually helped us, you know. And had they ran the ball, there was a possibility that we were going to end up letting them score. We have talked about that.
All right, so that's David Culley. I'm not going to take the time to replay, you know, give you three different cuts. But he doubled down on that. As confident, that sounded very confident. He doubled down on the fact that there was an incomplete pass that was thrown, and he tripled down because he was asked three times about it, because everybody in the room was like, wait, what? What the hell are you talking about?
There was no pass. Everybody's looking through their notes.
There was no pass. The last pass was thrown from midfield from Mac Jones to, I can't remember who it was, over to the left side. Zach Cunningham almost intercepted it. And it was from midfield. It was before they ever got in field goal range. What we're talking about, they were inside the 5-yard line. We're not even talking about the last pass that was thrown. So everybody's checking the box score going, wait, what is he talking about? What the hell's going on? Sean Pendergast and I were going, I don't know what he's talking about. Like, clearly in that moment, that particular, he was overwhelmed. That moment was too big for David Culley to make the right decisions, to put his team in position to at least get the football back down 7 with the opportunity to go score and either tie it up or or go for two and win the ball game. The one thing that a head coach has to do, especially one that doesn't call plays on either side of the football, the one thing they have to do is manage the game, give the play, put the players in position to have success, and put the team in every possible situation that you can to have the opportunity to win the ball game. And David Culley did not do that. You just heard David Culley talking last night about some phantom pass that was thrown, and he doubled and tripled down on it. Here he is today, after obviously having gone and watched the film either last night or this morning, and realizing that that indeed was a phantom pass.
I should have declined the penalty. If I had it to do over again, I would have declined the penalty.
When you were answering it, though, you mentioned that they passed, which helped you. What pass were you?
Well, it wasn't a pass. I was thinking there was a pass. What ended up happening is that during that time, I thought the clock got stopped. I had actually stopped the clock with a timeout. And then I had no more timeouts left at that point. And but again, if I had it to do over again, I would have allowed them to score.
Let's not even get to the point of allowing them to score. Let's just dissect this for a minute, show.
For sure.
Not only was there not a pass, but the stoppage of the clock that he thought came from an incomplete pass actually came from a timeout that he called.
He didn't even remember he called it.
He didn't even know
the time.
And here's why this is a major issue, is there's coaches in this NFL right now that are winning ball games that can tell you the second play of the third drive of the second game they played this season, and we're sitting in week 6 or 7, whatever the hell it is.
Sean McVay can tell you what he did 3 years ago.
Correct.
In week 2.
Correct. And David Culley wasn't aware that there was not a pass in the final minutes. And, in fact, he was the one that called the timeout to stop the clock.
He called his own timeout.
So we can talk about the fact that he didn't decline the penalty. He could have declined the penalty, allowed them to score, gave the ball back to the Texans offense with a minute 40, minute 50 left on the clock, I believe it was, and an opportunity to at least have a chance, right? So he didn't do that. But I'm blown away with the lack of, like, awareness of the moment. Like, how are you a head coach and you're responsible for game management situations and you're so overwhelmed in the moment you don't remember that you called a timeout?
You're not even calling
10 minutes later.
You're not calling plays. You don't even have other extra stuff
right
on your plate.
Right. So that's a great illustration to me of how overwhelmed David Culley was in this particular ball game. Right. Now, He did not make the right decisions then to give his team a chance to have another opportunity to get the football and possibly win the ball game. Now, if we go back to when the wheels actually came off with the Texans, right? It was the missed field goal, okay? And it wasn't just a missed field goal. David Culley last night in the postgame presser and today, and his comments about the missed field goal is, well, he's a kicker. He missed a kick. He's our kicker. He's got to do better.
Kicker.
Okay, Dave, you're right. I mean,
he didn't execute.
I'm hard on kickers, and you are correct. He did not execute. But let's dissect this situation. You got a two-possession lead. It was a 7-7 lead. You got a touchdown lead.
22-15 at the time.
Right. You got a touchdown lead. Your kicker had already missed two extra points, and he'd already kicked the football out of bounds one time. And what you were fixing to ask him to do was kick a 56-yard field goal, which would have broke his career record in terms of long field goal.
Yep. Career long of 55 going into it.
What are you doing, David Culley? You got three options. You can punt them, pin them deep. They got a rookie quarterback and four backup offensive linemen playing. Your defense had played pretty good to that point. Or you can go for it on 4th and 4. Because you got an offense that's already gone for it 3 times on 4th down and converted all 3 times. The last thing you should do there is attempt a long field goal.
For sure.
Right, right. In hindsight, right? Now, let's go to obviously missed the field goal. They gave New England a short field, okay? Now let's go to the botched fake punt, which is really when the wheels started to come off. I was wrong. The field goal was a couple of wheels were already off at that point, right? But the botched fake punt, you had a two-score lead. Tyler, you got that play dialed up again, that one you played earlier. You got a 2-score lead, and again, a rookie quarterback, four backup offensive linemen, your defense has been playing really good, and you decide that it's time to attempt either a fake punt or a fake punt that went absolutely south on you and turned the momentum of the game. And if you don't think it was wild that he even attempted it, and you don't want to take my word for it, here are the commentators. Here's the actual commentators of the game during that fake punt attempt.
Call for a flag there.
Hey, you got to get open.
Johnston changing the play. Now he backs up. Texans up 22-9. What are you doing there, James?
I don't know.
Up 22-9. What are you doing there, David? I mean, that's and these are all things that, yes, we can sit there show and go, well, the kickers didn't execute. Well, the punter didn't execute. Well, the players didn't execute. But all of these decisions go through the head coach. Hey, it's fourth down. You want to go for it or you want to kick it? We're on the verge of maybe four down territory, coach. You want to kick it or you want to go for it on fourth down? Culley makes that decision. He decided to attempt a career long from Kyahmi Fairbairn, who had already missed two extra points and kicked the ball out of bounds. Hey, coach, fourth down, man. What do you want to do? We're going to attempt this fake punt that has the punter running up and back and all this kind of jive.
For sure.
He has to okay those things. And when you're up 22-9 or 22-15 versus that team, and we were all at the game. We're watching it show. If your gut feeling at that point in time was, yeah, you needed to take risk at that point in time, then I don't know what game you were watching.
What are you doing?
What are we doing? I mean, it's wild. So, look, this is the first game where I believe that David Culley was completely overwhelmed multiple times throughout the game. And I think you got to look at this game and ask yourself, is David Culley capable of doing the things that an NFL franchise needs their head coach to do.
That's my issue with it, is these are not hard, to me, hard or difficult type decisions to make.
No.
Like these are ones that, hey, man, let's go down here, man. Our defense is playing well. It's 22-9. Let's not fool around and do something silly.
Coach, you make the decision in the locker room at halftime. Hey, man, we don't need anything cute. We need to go out here and keep playing ball.
That thing we worked
baby.
On this week.
Let's shelf
it. Let's just punt. Or,
right.
You know, these are – that makes sense. 50 – I mean, he just came off of the IR with a hamstring issue.
Right.
Let's go for 50.
Ka'imi noe aloa meka ike oke kumu pa.
That's exactly what he's talking about. White 80. Wide 80. Show I can't get out of my Clint Sterner football at four segment here without giving the Aggies a little bit of love, man, for
they
our guy T, man. That was an absolute monster W for the Texas A&M Aggies over Alabama this week. And I tell you what, man, Jimbo Fisher, my man, needed this one. Mike Elko, defensive coordinator,
man
needed this one. Zach Calzada, the quarterback, my man needed this one. And boy, did all three of those cats show up and show out against the number one team in the country.
Tyler Milner needed this
one. Kyle Field, yes.
You're damn right.
Yes. He needed it and he's still feeling it.
I was very concerned about
that. Was Kyle Field one of the greatest locations, one of the greatest stadiums, home field advantages in all of college sports, college football? It was on full display, my man. I just had to take a minute to salute Aggie Nation out there, the 12th man. That was absolutely beautiful. And from a Razorback who's obviously an SEC West, fellow SEC West, hey, we appreciate y'all beating up on Alabama, and hopefully we can get them down the road, maybe.
I hope you do.
Yeah, I want to just say now, I was so upset at Tyler. We had talked about going to that game, and Tyler, remember, took it from all of us and said, I'm not going down there. I'm not going down there to watch this. I'm not going to go down there to watch them get blown out. I'm not going. Took it from us. And I could have gone and watched that game at Kyle Field. Damn
well,
you,
how's that that big yellow bus that just ran over you, Tyler? How's that
feel?
Now you're hung over. You're hung over and ran over.
I was sitting there in that game hot at you at the half. We should be there.
Hey, I can't even defend it, man. You're right.
I can't.
You're hung over and ran over, Bub.
Robert Flores, MLB Network. We got to see what he thinks about Dusty's latest move. Lance McCullers, he gets the start tomorrow, not in game five. That's next.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, the Astros are going to get game four in. Hopefully tomorrow we'll be out Kirby Ice House tomorrow. So make sure you join us 1:07 first pitch. And with us, MLB Network's Robert Flores. He's our guy. He has joined us. He may be playing something on for his Facebook friends right now as we are talking to him, because he just sometimes is multitasking when he talks to us. But Robert, we got to get the latest news here with the postponement. Now Lance McCullers is on full rest, and I think the matchup we all thought, if everyone was right, we'd see Carlos Rodon versus Lance McCullers Jr. What are your thoughts about Dusty moving him up and going with him instead of going with Urquidy? Oh boy, Jose Urquidy. I can't say it right now. Urquidy. Going with him in game instead of him in game four.
Yeah, I think it's the right call. And if for some reason the Astros don't pull out a win tomorrow, then you will have I'm assuming Fromber going in game five. Yeah, I think it's the right call. Lance is not going to be fazed by the moment. That's not to say that Jose Urquidy was going to be fazed by the moment. I remember he pitched a hell of a game during the 2019 World Series against the Nats in Washington, D.C. So he's certainly performed at the biggest and highest stages. I think Lance is going to go out and pitch well. He is having the best year of his career in a variety of categories. So he's not going to be fazed by the moment at all. And he has pitched in some huge, huge games. Game 7 of the 2017 World Series, closing out the 2017 ALCS at home against the Yankees, in which he threw, like, I think it was 27 consecutive curveballs or something like that. But, yeah, I think it's the right call. Now, what do you do after that? That's where things get interesting.
Robert, what about, let's talk about last night a little bit, man. There's so many different angles here with next game and this game, but I want to revisit the comments made by the White Sox reliever Ryan Tepera, I believe is how you say his name. And I know you heard those, made some comments about the Astros, mentioned like as if they were insinuating that they were still stealing signs at home and there was less swing and miss at home, and which I don't know how you add all that up. But what did you make of those comments that he made after the game?
Well, it's a couple of things. One, first of all, there is multiple things can be true and there's room for nuance. And stories are often are filled with nuance. That's why this kind of story isn't good for Twitter, because heaven knows there ain't any nuance on Twitter or any sort of form of social media. But one, the Astros did this to themselves as a result of their actions in 2017. That's number one. So that level of, scrutiny is always going to be there from opponents and opposing fan bases. That's number one. But number two, Tepera's comments are interesting because the Astros had the best road OPS in all of baseball this past season. They were 780 OPS. That's on base plus slugging. I'm sorry, they were 787 on base plus slugging at home. So that was seventh in Major League Baseball, but their road OPS was tops in all of baseball. The White Sox, on the other hand, their home and road split. The White Sox at home, their OPS was 789. Their OPS on the road was 729. So I don't know why he would bring that up seemingly unprompted after a big win. But, hey, like I said at the top, the Astros, they did that to themselves. Well, do I think that there's something nefarious going on? And they did strike out 16 times. That's the most they've struck out in a game since the 2015 playoff. No, I just think guys like Michael Kopech, Dylan Cease, and Craig Kimbrell, and Liam Hendricks, they're really good, and they throw about a billion miles per hour. So I didn't understand where those comments were coming from. But as I said, I guess the Astros have put themselves in this position.
I guess he missed the six runs that they scored to start the game as well on the road, which is really strange too, I guess. Robert Flores, MLB Network, joins the show with us. And I want to kind of revisit what you just said there before. You said Lance McCullers, like you get him, it's the right move. But then you said, then after that, it's kind of up in the air. What do you mean by that?
Well, the bullpen, how many times have I been on with you guys this season?
A lot.
A lot. And what do I always say? What have I said from the beginning, and what do I always say? It's all about the bullpen. It's the bridge to Presley.
Yep.
I think every Astros fan will say, if we've got a lead and we've got Ryan Presley on the mound, Astro fans will say, I'll take that. We got a lead. Astro fans might be thinking, we got a lead in the sixth inning, in the seventh inning. Who's in there and how nervous am I? Because it's the bridge to Presley. How do you get to Presley assuming you have the lead? I didn't know. I thought it was curious making a pitching change mid at bat. I thought it was even more curious that it was Yimi Garcia, considering his numbers against lefties. And yes, Lurie Garcia is a switch hitter, but a righty, he's going to be in that left-handed batter's box. And I thought it was really, really, really curious just to groove a fastball right down the middle against Lurie Garcia, who hit it, I think, 900 feet. So it's going to be a roller coaster ride. It really is. Who can get out? Who can get out in that bullpen? Graveman has been okay. He hasn't been as good as he was with Seattle. Ryan Stanek has had some good moments this year. He's been used a lot. Yimi Garcia, we saw. Christian Javier, he has good stuff, but can he locate? So it's going to be really, really interesting to see how Dusty manipulates the bullpen going forward.
All right, Robert, real quick, did Grindahl do that on purpose?
It's hard for me to say because I don't know. He says he didn't do it on purpose. His manager, Tony La Russa, was very emphatic saying he didn't do it on purpose. I don't know. I don't know. It's a weird rule. The thing that was more curious was the strike zone. Tom Hallion's strike zone. If you look at umpire scorecard, which is a great Twitter follow on Twitter, his strike zone was all over the place. And that affects the White Sox as much as the Astros. But I was more concerned about what the strike zone was doing yesterday. But yeah, that was a strange play. And he says he didn't do it on purpose. I got to go with what he said.
All right, Robert, we'll get you out of here, man. Thank you for dropping by with us. I know you got a lot going on with this postseason. Enjoy the games, and we'll see what happens tomorrow in Game 4 between the White Sox and Astros.
You got it, guys. Have a good one.
All right, that's Robert Flores, MLB Network. A strange rule, Clint, to be honest. Like, it just – I don't know, man. It just – you watch the play, and you're just like
– I know.
You watch the play, and I know what people are saying with the Astros and everything. That's fine. Maybe they're getting their comeuppance or whatever. But you looked at that, and you're like, just that can't – like, somebody's got to be out. Like, that – like, somebody – that
you,
can't
– I would be shocked if in that situation that is not worked on. In today's
– somebody's got to be out.
In today's game where they're calculating spin rate and they got all these shifts going on, to think that Major League Baseball as a whole, and I'm just talking about as a group, and I know there's individual teams that don't do it as well as others, to think that they're that deep into those specifics and that detailed about those specifics, you can't tell me that with runners on second and third, if I hit a ball sharp down the first baseline, that runner's not being trained to run inside the grass to make it impossible for the catcher to see the ball. And if the ball does hit him, by rule, everybody's safe. It's not reviewable. It's everybody safe. I can do what they want to do. You can't tell me that in today's game, maybe not all the teams do it, but you can't tell me that that's not the plan of attack when runners are on second, third, and you hit one tight down the first baseline. You can't tell me that's – it'd be crazy if that weren't discussed and if that weren't repped and planned.
As he said, it's a weird rule. And maybe they don't think about it, but to think that you can only have interference going towards, like, to a base, like, he could only have interference at first base if the ball's being thrown towards first base is crazy to me. There's no thought to thinking, well, what if a grounder comes to first base and he tries to throw it home, and the guy, who apparently the baselines don't matter when you come out of the box, you can run wherever the hell you want to run, and he hits it. Like, there's got to be something there.
Yeah, you can't run at Altuve and then say you were establishing the baseline. That don't fly.
That was interesting.
I mean, hats off to them if they pulled it off and it was. I mean, it sure appeared to me that they did it on purpose.
Surprised they didn't at least take a look at it and see to visually see if it looked like he did it on purpose. They just
I don't know how it's not. That's Major League Baseball. It's a different story. I don't know how it's not reviewable.
Yeah.
I don't know how the rule is what it is, and I don't know how it's reviewable. I'm not mad at the White Sox for doing it if they did indeed do it on purpose.
All right, how good was Davis Mills yesterday? Should there be promising signs and feelings about the young quarterback? We'll discuss that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Keeping Texas chill. Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
Third down and one at the Patriots' 11-yard line. Long count, Mills. One man to the backfield. It's Ingram. Mills to throw over the middle and caught for a touchdown, Houston. Anthony Eclair with the reception, and the Texans get on the board first. What a drive.
Oh, Anthony got him a touch. Got him a TD. Good for him. Good for him. Bless his heart.
Who would have thought old Ant got a touchdown before Farrow or Jordan Akins?
Chris Conley. I mean, hell, everybody almost. Let's go there, because there's a lot. That game was rough. You felt like they should have won. It was one of their better performances. I would say mostly better. You could argue better than Jacksonville because of the opponent and the coach you were facing. You weren't facing horny Urban Meyer. You were facing the greatest of all time.
Horny Herb.
Horny Herb.
Stupid.
Handsy.
Mr.
Horny
Herb. Mr. Urban Meyer, if he were a corner, would get a lot of illegal contact penalties.
He'd get a lot of flags. A
lot of flags. On him, but I got a little Lonnie Johnson in his heart. But listen, they're doing it against Bill Belichick. And Davis Mills, Clint, I'm interested to hear how you felt his performance was. I know you watched him. I know you keep an eye on that and watch the tape again a little bit. How would you rate and where did you feel about Davis Mills' performance yesterday?
I thought it was really good. Look, as bad as Buffalo was, I thought this was as good, if that makes sense. I mean, Buffalo was really, really bad all the way around, but it lies at the feet of the quarterback more so than not, and that was awful. And this was – you did a 180, man. It was as good as last week was bad. I mean, I was really, really impressed. I was shocked. I did not expect to see this much of a bounce-back game. For Davis Mills, I thought he threw the football gun in the pocket, out of the pocket, under center, play action, middle of the field, sidelines, fourth down. I mean, he threw the football really, really well in multiple situations and used receivers, running backs, tight ends in the pass game. I was very, very impressed with Davis Mills' ability to go out there and put his team in position to win a ball game. If it were up to Davis Mills, the Texans would have won that ball game last night. And since you said it, you are correct. That would have been a much more impressive victory than the Jacksonville Jaguars if you could have beat Bill Belichick, especially in convincing fashion, the way that they started that football game for 2.5 quarters and were beating them.
And they were desperate. And the way that they – like, if you think about it, just Bill Belichick had a game plan and Tom Brady couldn't be Tom Brady, and that Bucs offense wasn't what they were all year. We just watched them put 45 on the Dolphins yesterday. Like, he performed better than that. Not saying he's better than Tom Brady, but if you look game and Belichick game plans for both of them, he performed better. Now, maybe the Patriots had a letdown, whatever, but he performed like that. When I watched the Buffalo game, there was no way that I thought at this point that Davis Mills was capable of having 300-plus yard game, multiple touchdowns, three touchdowns, should have been four, Chris Moore. Had a really good throw in the back of the end zone that could have been four, no turnovers. Like, I didn't know that he was capable of having that game after what we watched last week. So, yeah, I'm with you. I'm really impressed by what he gave yesterday. And he's shown another thing that he's shown is he really tends to bounce back. I mean, when he stinks, he bounces back the next week where you're like, well, what the hell happened before?
Yeah.
Like, how does a person make that jump from Buffalo to what he did yesterday?
Well, young quarterbacks, I know you're speaking my language, I know exactly what you mean. Young quarterbacks are very dependent on a play caller. And to there's two things that I think were major. Well, there's several, but there's two big things that I think were like 180 different from last week and this week. Once, I think it's weather. And I know people don't want to hear about weather, but Seth Payne was at the game and it was a torrential downpour. And when we're talking about quarterback play, that especially a rookie quarterback with minimal experience playing the position at all, that's hard. It's very difficult on him. But that and number two, I think Tim Kelly had a hellacious game plan this week. I think offensively they really had a bead on what Bill Belichick was doing defensively. And Tim Kelly dialed some things up, got some guys open, and Davis Mills he showed that he was able to make the throws in a big, big way. You know, the young quarterback is so dependent on that game plan. They're so dependent on, you know, obviously if it's windy or if it's raining, those are all issues. When they're indoors, particularly at home where noise isn't a problem, and Tim Kelly's got a good game plan drawn up, it's Davis Mills is going to play some good football, right? He's got to graduate to the point where he can overcome the weather, he can overcome the noise, he can overcome not having a great game plan and go make plays out off script like he did with Chris Moore on the long touchdown.
Yeah.
You know, those kind of things he's got to be able to do more often. And quite frankly, the players around him have to do more often. But I thought Davis Mills played lights out. I said this last week's show. I was less concerned about the interceptions with Davis Mills and more concerned with the dude's just not making plays. Like, the offense is not producing while he's taking snaps. He's not making – he's not throwing the football and having somebody on the other end catch it for big games, for swinging the field position, for points. And that's what I worried about. At some point, that offensive huddle was going to go, hey, man, I mean, you just – this kid ain't bringing nothing to the table. To hell with the mistakes. He's just not bringing – yesterday, he brought – big time throws to the table in the red zone, shot plays out in the field, extended a couple of plays and made big time throws. And more importantly, guys on the other end of the passes made plays for him. So yesterday was a big day for Davis Mills, man. And you just hope there's not a backslide like we've seen in the past.
Clint Stoner, Ron, the show, Tyler Milner producing this. Be aware of the coaches show, David Culley. He'll probably be talking about Davis Mills. He's coming up with the guys, Mark Vandermeer, John Harris, right behind us at 5 o'clock. So make sure you stay tuned to hear what David Culley has to say. Clint, your experience in the league, playing as a young quarterback, seeing young quarterbacks around in the league, is this what we are just going to come to have to expect, these big swings in play? Because – that's where it's been. You see the second half of the Browns game, and you're like, all right, the Panthers game, there were some moments there. Then you just see against the Bills, and then you see this. Like, the thought is you almost – I think a lot of Texans fans are hoping to say, okay, well, maybe we'd start to see that he gets it or something. But should we expect more of this, just up and down from him?
Well, I think with a rookie quarterback, you're going to experience more up and down than you do with, obviously, a Deshaun Watson type of player or a veteran quarterback that you know, can handle that adversity better. I think you're gonna see some ups and downs. Now, I doubt it very seriously, show, if we see the Buffalo type of performance from Davis Mills moving forward. I mean, that was and that, look, again, the circumstances made it damn near impossible for the quarterback to play well, although it didn't seem very difficult for Josh Allen to play well. But if you're a rookie and you're in those circumstances, man, odds are it's going to be ugly. And it was very, very ugly. I'd be surprised if we see the combination of opponent, weather, noise.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if he sees all that again this year. I'd be surprised if he sees all that again. So I'll go out on a limb and say we will not see that rock bottom that we saw versus Buffalo again, I don't think.
You mentioned Tim Kelly really helped him. And he was – you were calling, we were talking about this, like he's got to do something to help this kid and make it easier, because – a lot of the issues with Davis Mills was the parts around him weren't helping him, right? He didn't have but one receiver who could create separation to get open. The play calls probably weren't always helpful to him. The run game was in the trash. Then they would just give up on running the football, and teams could tee off on him. You were saying that Tim Kelly seemed different from the first couple of weeks to what he's done recently. It appeared in the game plan anyway, Clint, with them at least saying, we're going to stick to running the football with some extent. Now, it wasn't great, you know, production, but at least they stuck to it. He seemed to help the quarterback better with the things he did in terms of the game plan.
Oh, no question. I mean, look, the fourth down calls were absolutely money. There were three of them. One of them was to Brandon Cooks on a slant. One of them was to David Johnson on a slant. One of them was a combination route out of a bunch formation where he bunched a bunch of receivers up and Chris Conley popped wide open on a corner route. And you know, not only did he draw those up really, really well, but they were high percentage throws for Davis Mills to have success. The flea flicker was a great call. The timing was great. As you said, he stuck to the run with the intentions of popping him with the flea flicker at some point in time. It was executed flawlessly. They were obviously more aggressive across the board in their pass game and in their play calling. You talk about the first drive for the Texans was really impressive. They throw a touchdown. They score a touchdown on their first drive yesterday. I mean, it chewed up a ton of clock. And I'm going to tell you, they didn't run the football very well. They were bit by a penalty a couple of times. And Tim Kelly was just really, really good in that particular drive with a couple of screen calls. Again, using the running backs in the pass game. And I thought overall show yesterday, I thought we saw Tim Kelly use one thing that you and I both have been asking for, you know, for a couple of weeks now, was to see more use the running backs and the tight ends the way you used them against Jacksonville week one. And I think we saw some of that.
Yeah,
we
multiple Wildcat.
Yeah. We saw some different looks. And so, yeah, man, I thought Tim Kelly was really good. And even on top of that, I mean, and I know Pep Hamilton does a lot of the day-to-day work with Davis Mills, but Tim Kelly's in that mix. And Tim Kelly having him ready to play to the tune of a 141 rating, that's pretty impressive given what we watched a week ago for sure, show. I got a little something for you, though. Well, so I don't know if you're going to be excited about it.
Is it a gift? Oh.
No, I ain't got no gift for you.
Oh, I was going to say.
He's like my little cousin. Always wants, like.
I thought when you said I got something for you.
I got a tweet for you.
Hold on, Joe.
You must have missed. You're not going to like it.
Lay it on me.
Texans, Jeff Driskel, and Chris Moore reverted to the practice squad.
I'm just not, you know.
Five catches, 105 yards. We have him on the post-game show. Uh-huh. Finally, somebody not named Brandon Cook steps up and goes, catches a 50-50 ball and takes it to the house. And we revert him back to the practice squad.
I'm just going
to
tell you, I'm going to remain calm.
Okay.
I'm not going to blow a gasket.
Okay.
All right.
I'd get you to blow one, but okay.
Show is not going to come out.
I need a clinics.
All right. I'm going to take this as they're just doing things with the roster that they have to do at this point on Monday, and that by Friday, while we're here, that Chris will be on the roster. Now, if we get here Friday and we sit here and they're going to roll Danny Amendola, because they're lucky a lot's happened that they went ahead and just released Anthony Miller. And then they ran into this game without a slot receiver because David Culley said last week, well,
Don't get room for one.
We let Anthony Miller go because Danny's back.
For sure.
No, Danny's not back. And like I said, I'm just going to take this as some sort of way they're finagling the roster.
Fair.
Until Friday. And I will give them till Friday. If Chris Moore is not on that roster and he is not moved up, I'm going to cut a promo that Vince McMahon would be proud of.
Hold on, so
that right there, they can take their culture business.
Agreed.
And shove it right up their ass. I'm just telling you, but I'm holding out right now that there's no way. And I know I get in trouble for saying this. We've gotten in trouble multiple times for saying this. But there is no way that they would keep that cat off the rush.
Five for 105 and a touchdown. Should have, as you mentioned, 109. Should have had two touchdowns. Was it 109? My bad.
I believe it, yes.
Should have been two touchdowns.
Yep. He's better than Danny Amendola.
The only other guy, named other than Brandon Cooks, the only other guy on this team that's caught a 50-50 ball this year, and he caught it, stayed in bounds, took it to the house.
Yep.
And we're going to revert him back to the
and his weren't and his
with Driscoll
and his weren't on the trick
which,
play.
Which, by the way, what does that mean?
Oh God, just like I said, but it does not mean Deshaun is coming up.
Well, no, hell no, no. But
you think they've got another quarterback?
Tyrod Taylor. He's beyond 3 weeks. Does Tyrod Taylor come back, and is he the backup?
We'll keep reading
that. That'll get real spicy at the quarterback.
Very spicy. We'll have a lot to talk about. But like I said,
we talked about Davis Mills. I'm flip flopping on your show. I try not to do this. Trying to be this guy. This is gonna be a week to week flip flop for me.
This is quick too, boy, because you were pretty adamant last week.
Well, last week was one of those, like you said. I mean, we talked about it at length, man. You're turning the football over big time. You're not making plays. It was ugly last week, and that was. You can't keep Tyrod – like, you can't keep going in that direction. Whether Tyrod Taylor was here or not, you can't keep going in that direction with your organization, even if you are in a rebuild year and winning's not a priority. You can't keep going in that direction with your organization, what we watched against Buffalo. This week, with what Davis Mills did, I didn't think there was any way that – in fact, I said it. There's nothing Davis Mills can do to keep this starting job. Now, I said that having zero thought or chance that – Davis Mills would come out with a 140 plus rating, throw for 300 yards, 3 touchdowns. I just didn't think it was possible. And I'll be damned if he doesn't do it. I'm flip-flopping. If it's my decision right now, Davis Mills remains my quarterback.
Yeah, it would feel, even everything that happened against Buffalo, where they are 1-4, it would feel very weird after that game that he wasn't playing against the Colts Sunday.
Yeah.
That would feel very odd, right? Just right now at the moment, but Chris Moore will be.
You think so?
Chris Moore better be.
Well, we'll see.
Because if Chris Moore can't get on, but Andre Roberts can continue to stay out here, I'm going to remain calm.
Because thank you,
there's
Lord.
No way in hell.
Yeah, don't get yourself worked
there's
up.
There's no
man.
Way in hell they could all sit there and watch
this. Is Mama Show still here?
She's still here, man. We about to go out and have dinner.
Yeah, see, don't get yourself all worked up before you go eat with Teresa.
Hold on,
Mom.
Don't be bringing bad vibes to dinner, man. That's not cool, man. You don't get to see your mom much, man. When you do see her, don't bring bad vibes over one of the Texans making a move like this. 5 catches, man, 109 yards, a touchdown. Ain't no big deal, man. Texans don't need that.
As God is what, as my witness, come football Friday, if we're sitting here,
yeah,
and that man is still on this practice squad, I'm going to let it go. I'm telling you. Empty the clip. Great job, Clint. Coming up behind us, Coach Cully, the Coach's Show. Stay tuned. Coming up next with Mark Vandermeer, John Harris. Tyler, great job this week. I'm Ron. The show is always Houston. We love you, baby.
Light, jump off in this pool.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.